We begin this victory service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have come together to seek God's comfort in our sorrow, but also to rejoice in the promise of the resurrection. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who has said to us, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, as we gather together today in loving memory of our dear brother Don, we also remember you, dear Savior. Because of you, there is joy in our sorrow. Because of you, there is hope in our grief. And because of you, there is the promise of eternal life, even in death. Give us your comfort and peace today as we remember the blessed life you gave Don, and fill us with your peace all the days of our lives, until we meet him again on that last day. In your saving name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The order of our service is printed in your bulletin. We begin with our first hymn, "For All the Saints."
Thank you.
Christ. We continue on page 2.
With words of comfort, reading responsively from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord.
Therefore, comfort one another with these words.
Please be seated. Our first scripture reading is from Colossians chapter 3. We'll read verses 16 and 17. These verses are dear verses to Don and his family. Verse 17 was his confirmation passage. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The second reading is from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. This is John's vision of the heavenly home of all believers, the New Jerusalem. And what a blessing to know what is not only in heaven, God, Jesus himself there with us and his people, but also what is not there in heaven. No more pain, no more sickness, sorrow, or death. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain. For the former things have passed away. Here ends our scripture readings. We continue with our next hymn, Jerusalem the Golden.
Jerusalem, the Golden, with them held high.
Please rise. Grace to you and peace in the name of Jesus, in whom we have the victory, dear family and friends of Don Drews. The text for our meditation on this memorial victory service for Don Drews is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll read verses 51 through 57. This chapter is often called the resurrection chapter. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound. The dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. Thanks be to God. Those are words you would expect to hear around Thanksgiving Day. But on this particular Thanksgiving weekend, would you say they are really actually appropriate? Losing a beloved husband, father, and grandfather, and the hours before Thanksgiving Day officially started, might make us wonder, what is there to be thankful for? Can we still say today, thanks be to God? Now, Ida, and your family members and friends of Don, I don't want to in any way minimize the grief that you feel at the loss of Don or the fact that you will miss him. He will be greatly missed in so many ways from this life. But as you also know, and as I've expressed to you and you've expressed to me a number of times during this past weekend, you know that there is truly much to be thankful for. Many reasons to say, thanks be to God. First of all, look at the life that God gave to Don. I mean, people, have you read his obituary? It's 3 pages, and that is the summarized version. They had to kind of chop it down a bit. He had an amazing life. Don was an incredible man. He had an impressive amount of gifts and talents. Look at that obituary, and you say, what a full life Don lived. He was very intelligent, talented, and a very capable man. Thanks be to God. Don was also a very faithful man. He had a life that was filled with faithful service to his wife Ida of 64 years. Is that correct? 64 years. Faithful to his family, to his 4 children, to his 6 grandchildren, and 3 great-grandchildren. His life was also filled with faithful service to his Savior. He took to heart and put into practice the words of his confirmation passage, which we read just a few minutes earlier. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Colossians 3:17. Don was a faithful member and served faithfully on the board of elders, as chairman, and as choir director of several congregations in which he served during his lifetime. Don was a faithful man. Thanks be to God. Don was also a forgiven man. And Ida, you probably know this better than anyone here today. Don was not perfect. He needed a Savior from his sins, just like we all do. And so as we gather together today to celebrate and to remember the life that Don lived, it's important for us also to remember that it wasn't Don's gifts or his faithfulness that gives us true reason to give thanks to God. It was God's faithfulness to Don. It was God who, in his rich grace and mercy, made Don one of his own at his baptism just a few weeks after he was born. It was God and his faithfulness that caused Don's saving faith to grow and to be put into action during his lifetime and to be preserved throughout his lifetime. And it was God's faithfulness that kept that faith strong even to the very end of his life. Because of God's faithfulness, we can gather here today and say, thanks be to God. For because of God's faithfulness, Don is now a victorious man. Listen again to these words from our text. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us the victory. Victory over sin, over death, and even hell itself. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. That victory is Don's victory. That victory is yours and mine through Jesus. His perfect life, his innocent sacrifice for our sins on the cross, and his glorious resurrection from the dead guarantee that Don's last day of life on this earth was not his last day of life, but only the gateway to eternal life. Jesus' death and his resurrection guarantees that same victory of life over death for us as well. A couple of weeks ago, while Don was recovering from his hip surgery, I had a devotion with him. It happened to be when only he and I were in the room together. I read to him from the end of Romans chapter 8. Let me read to you the verses that I read to Don. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. After reading him those verses, I asked Don, I said, do you feel like more than a conqueror today? And he grinned and he kind of chuckled and said in his dry sense of humor, oh, I'd say not. But he knew, and the text reminded him, and he appreciated the reminder that day that it doesn't say that we feel like more than conquerors through Christ, but that we are more than conquerors through Christ. The text also reminds us that nothing that life can throw at us, even death itself, cannot change our standing in Christ and cannot take away his love for us. If we were somehow to be able to ask Don that same question today, do you feel like more than a conqueror? What do you think his answer would be? Thanks be to God, his answer would be a resounding yes. For he is now experiencing the victory Christ has won for him in all its fullness for all eternity. Our text points to one more reason we have to give thanks to God. It reminds us that we will see Don again. Not in weakness, not in sickness or pain, but clothed in glory and immortality. Listen again to these words. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. We will see him again, with Jesus, because of Jesus. We'll see him again forever in our heavenly home, where there will be no more death, no more crying, no more sorrow, and no more pain. Yes, thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll continue with our next hymn that's printed for you in the bulletin on page 4. You'll find "The Lord is My Shepherd." Continue with the reading of the obituary. Psalm 127, verse 3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Donald William Drews was born on September 23, 1923, in Buffalo, New York. God's special gift to the Reverend William A. and Louise Nee Ilse Drews. Psalm 121, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. The Lord establishes unfailing covenant of grace with Donald through the rite of holy baptism on October 14, 1923, performed by his father. Also under the spiritual guidance of his father, he was built up and confirmed in the Christian faith on May 16, 1937, at North Park Lutheran Church in Buffalo, New York. His memory verse was, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Colossians 3:17. Donald received his elementary education at No. 66 Buffalo Public School and his secondary education at Buffalo Technical High School in Building Design and Construction in Buffalo, New York. He obtained his college education at Valparaiso University for mechanical engineering, and at Princeton University in the Army Specialized Training Program, and for electrical engineering, graduating with a BS degree with high honors and was a member of Phi Beta Kappa. Psalm 128, verse 3. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. your children like olive plants all around your table. The Lord gave Donald the blessing of a Christian wife when he married Ida May Pasca of Windsor, Ontario, Canada, on June 13, 1953, at First Lutheran Church in Windsor. Reverend H.F. Storm performed the marriage service. This union was blessed with four children, Barbara Ellen, Janet Louise, John Martin, and Mary Catherine. Psalm 23, verses 1 through 3. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Jesus, who is the good shepherd, nourished Don's soul and sustained him in the Christian faith with a green pasturage of the gospel of Christ in word and sacrament at Bethany Lutheran Church in Buffalo, New York, where he served in the church council at Calvary Lutheran Church in Murraysville, Pennsylvania, where he used his spiritual gifts on the church council as president of the congregation and choir director, at St. Luke Lutheran Church in Sunnyvale, California, where he ministered to others on the board of elders and as choir director, and at St. Stephen Lutheran Church in Mountain View, California, where he ministered to fellow Christians as an elder, president of the congregation, and choir director. Psalm 100, verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Psalm 128, verse 2, when you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Motivated by the redeeming love of God in Christ Jesus, Donald served the Lord with gladness, making use of his God-given gifts at Niagara Blower Company in Buffalo as a craftsman, at Westinghouse Electric Corporation as an electrical engineer on a graduate student training program, at the Industrial Control Division in Buffalo, specializing in electrical propulsion control for ships and submarines, in the Marine and Transportation Engineering Group at Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, in the Marine Division at Sunnyvale, California, at Kaiser Aluminum and Chemical Corporation in Oakland, California, as senior staff engineer in the Corporate Electrical Engineering Department, and at Westinghouse Electrical Corporation in Sunnyvale, California, as principal engineer in marine heavy machinery and product development, and then in retirement as part-time consultant. Matthew 22, verse 21. Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Donald carried out his civic duty to the government while serving in the military. He enlisted in the U.S. Army Enlisted Reserve Corps at Gary, Indiana, while attending Valparaiso University. He was called to active service at Camp Upton, New York. He took basic training with the Army Air Corps at Amarillo, Texas. Donald was sent to Signal Corps Radio and Radar School at Fort Monmouth, New Jersey, and then to the 3190th Signal Service Company, working on electronics technician operating microwave communications equipment. Overseas assignments did not materialize after the war ended in Japan, and so he was sent to the 17th Signal Service Company, operating worldwide teletype systems in the Pentagon. He was discharged from the Army at Fort Dix, New Jersey, on April 2, 1946. In later years, Donald also performed his civic duty as a member of City of Sunnyvale Board of Building Code Appeals, including 1 year as chairman. Revelation 2:10, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Through the grace and mercies of God in Jesus Christ, Donald remained in the Christian faith until the very end of his earthly pilgrimage of 94 years and received the crown of life in heaven on November 22, 2017. His death was hastened by a fall, resulting in a broken hip and wrist. Donald was preceded in death by his parents, sister Doris Wennerstrom, and daughter Janet Drews. Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He leaves behind, yet in their time of grace, his wife Ida of Sunnyvale, California, sister Marla Schmidt of Mentor, Ohio, daughter Barbara and her husband Mark Gullerud of Bottle, South Dakota, son John of Newark, California, daughter Mary and her husband Ronald Ryan of Eau Claire, Wisconsin. His grandchildren, Kirsten Gullerud of Sunnyvale, California, Prof. Joel Gullerud of Eau Claire, Wisconsin, Aaron and his wife Shannon Gullerud of Phoenix, Arizona, and Daniel and his wife Angela Gullerud of Sunnyvale, California, Danielle and her husband Randy Wittorp of Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, and Emily and her husband Brian Schlegelmilch of Eau Claire, Wisconsin. His great-grandchildren, Evelyn Schlegelmilch, Ezekiel Wittorp, and Nolan Gullerud. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful and grateful to you for the blessed life you gave to your son Don, and for giving him a peaceful end and relief from his physical burdens and pains. We rejoice that he is now sharing the eternal joys of his heavenly home with his Savior Jesus and all the believers that have gone before him. Dear Savior, we pray that you would comfort his wife Ida, his children and grandchildren, and all of his family and loved ones with the knowledge that he is sharing the eternal joys of heaven with you, where there is no sin, no sorrow, no pain, and no death. Give them your peace, dear Jesus, the peace that the world cannot give, the peace that passes all understanding, the peace that comes from your forgiving love, which you displayed for all of us on the cross. Comfort all of us also with the joy that when we say goodbye to a departing Christian, it is not forever, but rather we say, till we meet again on the last day, when we will be with you and Don and all the believers in Christ on heaven's glorious shore. Sustain and keep all of us in saving faith through your word until our final day comes. In your Son Jesus' saving name we pray. Amen. The Lord's Prayer for our service today will be sung on a musical recording by Don's grandson, Aaron Gullerud. The congregation is invited to pray along in their hearts as we hear the words of this song. Thank you. Don's longtime pastor here at St. Stephen is Pastor Rowan Ryan, and we ask him to come forward to say a few words at this time.
I don't know if that microphone is portable. Can you hear me back there in the last row? Okay, I'll deliver what I have as loud as I can. Everything has been said already that needs to be said, and so gracefully and so perfectly, I don't want to spoil it by adding anything to it, except that there is a point where an expression of personal appreciation is in good order. And I speak for a moment or two here as a colleague of Don Drew in ministry at St. Stephen Lutheran Church. And I just wanted to be known publicly that I could hardly imagine the course of ministry that I was called to without having him on my back and at my side. And if you know him, if you know him at all, as somebody who has consistently supported, perceptive, and so perfectly equipped to provide for the need of the hour. I still recall 45 years ago when Don stood at the door of the parsonage and introduced himself. Came in, and of course he sat in comfort in the living room, and his mission was to investigate this particular parish as a place of residing and nourishing himself and his family in the gospel and providing opportunity for service of his Lord and Savior. And I got quite a grilling, as you can imagine. He was not an easy person to persuade, but he explored the fundamentals, and he was, together with others at that time, adrift in a sense, where they were looking for parish life that more perfectly conformed with their own convictions and purposes. So you can understand that he would take some time to make sure that he was right. And from that moment on, became an indispensable part of the venture, which I at that time was serving as pastor, and somewhat during the 45 years as well. And as you notice from this beautifully put together bio, that he was heavily involved in the affairs of the congregation. And this is not to be said lightly, because with an extended and attenuated career such as he had as an engineer, and that he would have the interest level and the energy to do what he did by the grace of God. And I say that because we as a congregation were the beneficiaries of that. And in evidence of what this is somewhat like, I urge you to look at the furnishings of the altar area behind me and the chancel. Don used his engineering know-how extensively at the time when we were building a facility and engaging an architect, and he is more than anybody responsible for the design of what we have here in altar furniture. And a field of expertise, everything, the balance, you know, and the significance, the message of it, he was all able to put together with the architect and came up with what you see here, which many people have come to regard as very appropriate and unique and in a chaste and beautiful way suited to the situation. I just mentioned that as an example. And throughout these years, he was indispensably engaged in work of the council, administration of the affairs, and to the extent that they made him a lifelong member of the council when he retired from active involvement. And he was still coming to sessions of the council, and he kept his own diary of proceedings as they were conducted. And it was at least 2.5 inches thick. So there are so many things that all constitute a sort of legacy of good things that are in our hands and in our history by the grace of God. And of course, in our framework of understanding, any credit that may be due for that is rightly given to the Lord himself, who was minded to use him as an instrument for many of these great good things. And so, in conclusion, however, I'd like to read just another passage from Revelation, which suggests that even though the structure of Christianity doesn't favor a lot of praise and laudation of servants of the word, they're all different and all have their assignments and all do it. So very seldom is distinction made, except in a situation like this where we have such an immediate reason for participating. Thanks again, gratitude. So we look here and we see this altar. Not a small thing, but if you look at the Christmas tree, you'll see some unique artwork adorning the tree. And that is something that emanated from the Druze household, especially by Ida, who fabricated these so-called Christman symbols in the beautiful art form. And that's another thing, too, about Don and his participation, is that he had, along with his technical know-how, his spiritual understanding, a sensitivity of form and order. And so it permeates the atmosphere and should cause, at least in me and those of this parish, reason for much thanksgiving, as the theme of the service has suggested. The last word is, if my eyesight will allow, is in Revelation chapter 14, where we read, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead in also who die in the Lord. From now on, blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them."
Thank you, Pastor Ryan. I invite you to please rise. Receive now with believing, joyful hearts the blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Sing as our closing hymn, "I'm But a Stranger Here, Heaven Is My Home."
Thank you.
Please be seated. Good evening. A warm welcome to all of you. On behalf of our congregation, on behalf of the family of Don Drew, as we welcome you, and thank you for coming to the service today. I invite you to sign the guest book that the family has provided at the entryway if you have not done so already. Everyone is invited to a reception that will be held at the Drew's residence following our victory service tonight. The address is printed in your bulletin. Are there any other announcements? Yes, Ida.
I'd like to try.
Sure.
Thank you, Pastor Luke and Pastor Ryan, and all of you friends and relatives. We thank you for being here and from Westinghouse and from all over. We thank you for your love, your friendships of so many years. I don't know what else to say, except, of course, we'll all miss Don. He was 64 and a half years are not always, as you all know, in your marriages. I'm sure there's a lot of ups and downs in our marriages. But we held together. We held together with Christ by our side. And I hope all of you do the same, because that's what we rely on, is Christ's loving promises to us. Heaven is our home. We invite you to come to our house at 1161 South Mary, not very far from here, and to share a bite with us. And so we'd be happy if you could join us. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I'll ask the family to exit with me and greet you as you leave the service tonight.